I just expected you to be late. But I do have something I need to bring up with you, which is, you know, I saw the little snarky, sarcastic thing you put in at the description of our last podcast. And I just want to say that I'm not going to tolerate sarcasm, okay? So you,
well, I thought
you
that
need
was
to
one
be...
of your four food groups.
No, I can tolerate my own sarcasm. How dare you? Oh, yeah, like you really care. No. Yeah.
I think trying to figure out if within the ever-present moment of now you are late or early is probably a worthy pursuit. I don't know the answer.
You know, I will say, because I do think it is interesting, because, you know, there is the ultimate reality, and then there's temporal reality, which is time. The time, and in the ultimate reality, there's no, in absolute truth, there's no time. And I know that experience, if you call it an experience, or that reality, but I also know time and space. And I find that I have a very strong code, could be conditioning, who knows, but I don't like to be late kind of ever. Now, I have five planets in Capricorn, ruled by Saturn, the master of time and space. You are an Aquarius sun, also ruled by Saturn. You also, I think, have Mars in Capricorn, which is how you do things. Anyway, you know, time is important. If you're playing music, time is important. So I think that maybe, I don't know if today's the day, but talking about time would be a good thing, because yeah. I think
Wait,
mastering
did you start this off,
time,
was
if you're going to live in it. What?
Was that a complaint you were filing? Because that is the topic that you set for today. Remember? About complaining?
Oh, well, actually, we did pass some messages back and forth. I thought we were going to talk about saying yes and no.
Oh, that's
right. We've had a couple topics. We had filtering things. We've had, the difference between being open and being closed was something you put up. Why don't we reach out to our fan, and ask him or her, she or they, he or ha, whether they, what they would like to,
all right,
us
I'll,
to talk about. How would they like to become enlightened?
And consult your inner fan and see what we should do.
Well, what do you want to, what topic would you like to broach today?
Well, I thought the complaining one was valuable, because if you leave your house, you realize that's kind of all you ever hear. And it's so widespread that it's kind of like how you do normal discourse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is weird.
Well, do you want to do the opening gambit, or shall I?
Well, I'm trying to
remember. Or did you already?
I'm trying to remember the first time I did this. I mean, I grew up surrounded by, I had a unique form of complaining, I think, being demonstrated to me. It was one that elevated the perception of oppression to a virtue. Like,
slow down. You're being very Jason right now. Slow down and explain. I understand what you mean by that, but
if you could be so lucky as to find yourself oppressed by some other person or outside force, that was almost a virtuous position
to be
in.
A good Christian value, which is that if you suffer, that's noble in some way.
That's right. That's right. However, I don't believe that divine directive from whatever source it originated meant that suffering and whatever came because of it should be fueled by this like repressed anger that you didn't know how to deal with actually, which is what I kind of grew up around. There were no boundaries until there were. And then when
there were invisible boundaries, you would discover them when you reach them.
It looked like based on what I think now, it really looked like no one had the guts to enforce them. I don't know if that's true, but if someone steamrolled them long enough, then all of a sudden we had good justification to really, I mean, it really was complaining, but it's like a bizarre thing, but there was a lot of anger in it is what I remember feeling. And so that was everywhere in my sphere. Visits to extended family were largely talking about other people that we were angry at, which is looking back a very odd way to spend your time. So it was everywhere.
You don't get off the call and talk to Marin about me and about how annoying I am.
I mean, and certainly not. Maybe I laugh. I didn't have the balls to complain. Like, I'm the guy that grew up, if you ordered flounder and they brought you a cheeseburger, you wouldn't say anything.
Yeah. I think I have a couple keys here to unlock some doors. Because you're talking about boundaries and invisible or visible or coming upon them. And I think the word here is expectation. And why this is important is because the complaint can only come from expectation. And like if you, in a divine rule, whether this is a religious or moral thing for you or just a sense of what works and doesn't work, you, a person who lives in a divine way, chooses to see themselves as the author of life. If something comes into their life that they don't like, that they're going to be asking themselves, what's this for? How does it help me fulfill what my life is? But most of us, because of conditioning and training, because you're talking about conditioning mainly, have passed down through generations expectations. So you, what I think you're describing is the idea of what is the right way or wrong way, but it's in conditioning, it's never really that spelled out. It's more in the atmosphere, which is why conditioning is so powerful, because you live inside it and you breathe it and you feel it. You feel what will make your parents happy or your teachers happy or any, because that's what children do. They, with unconditional love, you're open and you see whatever the adults are as your first sort of human versions of God, let's just say.
Yeah, they're infallible and imperfect, usually, for quite some time.
So they're those perfect expectations are put onto you, and you find out when you are or aren't meeting them. I mean, this is something you've talked about a lot, because like one of my favorite things that you just said, because your kids have never been to school, like is that like somehow arbitrarily we went to school and a bell rang and then we told the class was ended, and then we told what next we were going to do. We were on some sort of schedule, and it is kind of insane if you think about it, because like who decided to train us like a dog to say when to go to things? So my point here being that if you have expectations, it's always going to be that you are going to be living in like a binary, yes or no, met expectations, non-met expectations, and complaints are only a result of your idea of what should happen. And I just to say one last thing, if that's okay. It's okay.
It won't be the last thing. Go right ahead.
I think it's really, really, really important to make the distinction between the mind and the soul from the perspective of where we find ourselves attracted to certain things or feel like there's something that I think when you're in a soul life, you do have ideas of what we might loosely call right or wrong or how to do things. That's different than living in conditioning and living in the mind. So it's not like when you don't have expectations, you don't have a compass inside that's saying the right and wrong way for you to do things. But it feels completely different than the tension that comes from having expectations that are outside of your authentic self? What's the natural flow for you, for your life? And also, most of the things you're talking about, expectation, are tribal. They're not specific to you. They're that bell that rings is for everybody. And yeah, it's whether or not, it's how you either play the game, which you said you did, or fail at the game, which is what I did.
And alluding to what you said in the last episode at the end, when we were giving a preview of what is going to be a blockbuster episode for all of our fan, complaining ultimately is engaging in the rather insane activity of arguing with what is at the moment, like,
right,
which is a really dumb thing to do. And no one ever mentioned that to me because they were too in the movie to even know there was a movie, to even know they had a choice, to even know that maybe getting together for the Sunday afternoon and arguing about people that weren't in the room about how they are was kind of a waste of breath.
I always, I went to the South to travel. I had never been there. I think it was 2010, first time I went. And I was just so shocked at how scripted. People were very, very nice. I thought, everybody's so nice here. And then after doing work and sessions, they've been finding out everybody's having affairs and drinking and hating on everybody else. You know, in that classic thing, they say, oh, you can say anything you want as long as you start with bless his heart. I couldn't believe, I really was just shocking to me how unwilling people are to say what's going on for them in the moment, but how much people would talk about other people behind their back. That play, when I say South, it was Georgia, North Carolina, those places. I was it shocked me.
My first church job out of school was in Nashville, or Nashville,
which is sort of considered the South in a way.
It was compared to Manhattan,
yeah,
and New York State. Yeah. So it certainly felt that way, and I was not prepared for what you just described and how that game is played.
Yeah.
So that's why we don't live in Nashville anymore.
Yes. Yeah.
We didn't last very long there.
Well, it's hard to find a place in the world without conditioning. I mean, people think there's, the further away they get from their culture, the more chance that they're going to find some place that isn't conditioned. But I don't think there is a place in the world that doesn't have people, that doesn't have conditioning.
I think it took me a good 30 years until I started getting into business, and then that led to reading about mindset and all of the famous business books about like how you create your own reality. Like it took that long in my life.
Which ones are you talking about? Give me the top three. Dale Carnegie, or
As a Man Thinketh. Certainly when The Secret came out in like 2007, that's probably the most mainstream example of creator light kind of metaphysical mumbo jumbo. But luck, you know, the minute you take a few steps in that direction, you are confronted with the idea, which I had never heard growing up, that you're actually responsible for yourself and it might be the path to freedom.
Yeah.
So once you hit that, then this, if you go a few steps further than that, then you start to realize that whatever you're emitting or whatever is coming out of your mouth, which is just packaged vibration, is like doing something that you will experience in the future or even in the moment. And maybe you should learn how to be more masterful about what you allow out and what you allow inside you, like 24/7.
Well, to go back to complaints for a second, because it kind of dawned on me that, like, I think particularly with you, I feel like, well, lots of people tell me that I'm really intense and like say sort of things in this very dramatic way, like as if there isn't another side. But I feel like you have this very strong code, and it has a certain concept to it, and you're putting that out right now. But what, two thoughts. One is, we're not trying to form a religion, like, oh, and now if you have a complaint inside, like, that's bad. Because I think that what you're talking about, we're not at this moment in the podcast talking about what to do. We're just talking about what's going on. And I think that how religions get formed is that we make a good or bad out of it. And I want to say, as an example to myself, like, I feel like here's the value of complaining to me. And tell me what you think about this, because you may not even do this. But like, if you have someone in your life, for me, it's Sarah, my business partner, who I can talk from the most shadowy part of myself and just vent something. And I know for sure she's not going to identify or support me being a victim or whatever, but she's going to let me off gas that. For me, sometimes getting below the level of the nature of the animal nature and the mind level, like that is always complaining, like my body, I don't really like the cold, or just, you know, I don't like chocolate, I want vanilla, whatever it is. I feel like it's always still there for me, little bits here and there. And if I have someone to go to when I'm feeling that and I can just say it, I will let it go. So I feel like it's not necessarily like you're evil if you complain, or it's completely wrong. It's just that if it's a waste of time, if you are going to live in it, if you're going to identify with it. So I wonder how, and just going back to the beginning, my thought, how I was sort of describing you, my experience of you is that you're very, I don't have a good word for it, but I want to say idealistic, but it's not that. It's that you tend to go for the ultimate truth, speak to it, and just remove everything else. Yeah. And I feel like I have my own, I must do that too. Maybe I'm looking for the essence of things, but I don't necessarily identify with what you do. When I hear it sometimes, I feel like you're very pure in how you do it, and I don't think I'm that pure.
Yeah. That just is what feels right to me. Like I would say I'm always looking for the ultimate truth. And certainly that is open to my perception, but like I know it when I feel it, and then I do not entertain stuff that isn't that. You know, I think I do that probably in a lot of areas. Like I would rather take a step out than be in this murky, weird, compromised kind of way to navigate through things. So on the outside, it's gotten less harsh looking as I've gotten more mature. Mm-hmm. At the beginning, it just looked very angry if the wrong things happened, because I didn't really know what was going on. But I don't think complaining is bad. I would, in my body, it feels like an inefficient use of energy if I'm mm-hmm. always creating. And so the thing that I practice is just the ideal I'm pointing towards. That's the other thing that I feel like I'm in the habit of doing. I'm always just focused on the ideal, whether or not it's here yet. Mm-hmm. But I'm always like pointing in that direction, or at least trying to. So the radical acceptance of what now, of what is right now with zero resistance, is how I'm trying to live. Moment, I can desire to change anything. Like, I'm not going to argue that someone served me vanilla instead of chocolate, but the moment I see the vanilla coming, I can just steer clear of that charge that we're all conditioned to go into and just say, I'd like chocolate.
I think for me anyway, this is maybe the most interesting part, because I think the when it comes to working on ourselves, and people can get religious about the way to do it. So, well, and the concepts are pure in of themselves, or principles are pure. So I think something I enjoy about talking with you is I see so much of myself in you, but I also see lots of differences. So talking about this little, the way you go about it versus me or someone else, I think is important. So because it helps, I think it will help a listener or someone working on themselves understand that the application of the principle can be different for each person. So my question to you, just starting from what you just said, do you have complaints that you're aware of that go on? And can you describe, like, if you have them at different levels? Because chocolate to vanilla is one thing. Someone, attacking your children would be a different thing. You told me that story about, this was a long time ago, but I think you were living somewhere, you had to sue somebody or something. This was a long time ago. But I'm just wondering if you get complaints within you and different levels of them and how you deal with it.
So from the time I was a kid, I wanted to be a magician. And the first years of my life, like, I thought that meant the magic tricks, because I loved them and that's where I spent all my money. As I grew up, though, I realized that the quote-unquote magic that I like the best is my mastery of the manipulation of energy and the way that reality is influenced because of it.
You mean real magic, in other words.
Yeah. I mean, some people might call it prayer. There are a lot of words that point towards whatever it is, and I don't profess to understand it completely. But based on what I've proven to myself, we are always creating within some kind of constraint field that we don't even understand, whether it's our purpose here or whatever. Like, we don't have complete control, but we do have a lot of influence, it seems. And it seems that whatever that field is that receives our influence in the form of vibration doesn't understand the word not or don't. It just understands the pure vibration, which is why when my wife was a midwife for so long, she would really help her clients try to not talk about the birth they didn't want. Like, that was just intuitive to her. That's
double
a learned
negative.
Skill
to not
to me.
Talk about what they don't
well,
want.
And when you have kids, like, they also don't hear that. So there are these weird things that you start picking up when you say, don't go there. Like, what does every kid do? Like, that, and when you start studying the subconscious mind, and in the business world, those gurus talk about the subconscious mind as though it's like this mysterious thing hidden somewhere. Once my wife started studying trauma and somatic experiencing, those people talk about the subconscious mind as being the body, like everybody knows that. And when I put those two things together, then I was like, okay, we are feeding this information stream to whatever field is out there that we have this interplay and dance with. And I want to get really good at monitoring what that is for me. And so this complaint energy, I feel like that will, since we're always creating, which is my understanding, that's my own self-accepted truth, that's not helpful. Like, I don't want to create anything that I'd be complaining about. So I need to repackage how that desire is fulfilled in me into a way that is more helpful for whatever I want to bring to me.
When my daughter was in preschool, we were in this semi-enlightened preschool in San Francisco. It was a parent education program. And she basically said that, because they were educating the parents, not the kids.
Yeah.
And she the teacher said that they don't children don't hear don't. So whatever you say, just take out the don't, and that's what they hear. And
I think the universe responds the same way based on my experiments.
Yeah. Well, and I think because children are more pure when they get here, it's much easier for them before they have conditioning to just respond to the positive, which is what is the creation? What is the command? So doesn't make any sense to an open being in a way. But you didn't really answer my question, or maybe you did answer my question.
Do I have complaints? Was that your question?
Yeah, well, I liked what you said, but I'm also, I think what I'm, the part that I'm attracted to is for the average person who has complaints, like, is it relatable? Do you feel that you are still in the world of, like, are you beyond having complaints?
I've tried to develop the habit to not have what you would call a complaint.
Yeah.
Because I feel that vibration doesn't create a world I want to see.
How about resistance?
Sure. I mean, you can, yeah. I feel that internally.
And resistance
then in that
is
moment,
a complaint.
Well, I mean, or it's a guide. You know, it's like, yeah. I would step out of the path of that and go towards what I want. So,
well,
I think it's a retraining that I've tried to do of my own flow of energy, because I do feel like I'm creating what I'm going to step through.
Yeah.
Whether it's tomorrow or next year. And I just pay a lot of attention to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like either you don't want to answer my question.
You mean,
or,
am I human? Yes.
Oh.
Well,
that was what I was wondering.
Fully human.
Well, you know, I started running. I was reading about, or someone talking about, in aging, lung capacity is the most important thing. And that I had just gotten the idea in my mind, and then I saw that, well, obviously I created it, someone talking about that, and I just decided to do a little bit of running because, you know, with most of the internal martial arts, there's not much, for me, not too much cardio happening. Anyway, I have a hill behind my house, and I used to go up that hill routinely, and it's kind of very vertical, but you can take it. If you want, there's a 45-minute walk to the top of the state park that is where they had a missile site in the 1940s, fun fact, that they've paved over because they were pointing missiles at Japan. Anyway, but if I run up to the first landing, it takes me 5 minutes. And I've been doing it now for about 2 months every other day, and I hate it. I absolutely hate doing it every single day, and I feel so good after. And I do it anyway. And what I'm watching this morning is my body has a story. And I feel like my body is very communicative to me and always has been about what it likes and doesn't like. And it complains every time I start. It's like, I don't want to do this. And I hear it almost like a voice in me that says, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. And I do have to as Sarah would say, juge the situation, because I know I need to do it. So I think there's a difference between resistance that's instructive because it's trying to help you, to guide you, or resistance, in my case, is I just have lazy feeling in my body that doesn't want to have to, like, get beyond the whiny, lazy body feeling that I don't want to have to, like a child. I feel like my body is sometimes like a child.
I think that, you know, in martial arts, like when you're, when somebody's moving their fist right towards your head, and you can obviously resist that with force, or you can just feel that punch coming in and parry it. And just in that moment, you use that vector to like change your vector, right? And so it's just this split second shift. And so when it comes to complaining, my habit is to do that with my perspective.
Yeah.
This thing I don't like, number one, I just know that it's smarter to receive that as a gift, right? So I've got to change me by shifting my perspective on that. And then number two, I don't think that it's about suppressing the feelings or dislikes that you have. I think it's about the speed at which you can let it go and not dwell in that vibration, right? And then choose a new one, because you are the authority. And while you can't always control what you feel, you can control the next thing, the next moment, often.
Well, I think that's what I hear, is that is your practice, and your...
It's just a choice. Like, it's just my new habit.
Yeah.
It's not...
And I have that habit too. And I do think that, I mean, the running up the hill is maybe is a more... Because it's not... what's the word? Reactive to life. Because I think, like, as I'm choosing to go running and I know I don't like it, and it's a little game I'm playing with myself. But if I go out into the world and I receive something that I have resistance to, either it's on some level, I guess what I would say for myself is that I experience resistance and complaints on different levels, but I too have sometimes an immediate response that is, you know, what's the value of this?
Yeah.
You know, some practice of acceptance. But I'm also... I think what I'm maybe aware of or interested in, why I'm focusing on this little one area, is that I obviously, and I think you would say for yourself, I'm not the same person I was in my 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s even. There is so much freedom and joy and simplicity and peace that I experience every single day. And I don't even realize how remarkable it is until I really get with other people. Like when I went to Canada and saw family and friends, I could see that I was literally living in a different reality, but I didn't necessarily know that. But what I'm trying to tease out of myself is how much conditioning is still there, because there are like, and how much I get to choose what whether my resistance is a guide or a pattern. And I feel like there's, it never goes for very long, but sometimes I think the deeper you get into clearing things out, the more powerful and core some of the things you encounter. At least that's what's happening for me right now, is that some of the things that I encounter that are my resistance are so subtle, because I don't have the big yeses or no. I don't fly off the handle. Actually, I got an interesting good example, in may, if I may. Or do you want to say anything about that before I give you my example?
No, go ahead.
Well, I'm assuming it's okay to talk about this, because I hope my brother doesn't listen to the podcast. I know his son does. You know, he likes to talk about what you call muggle stuff, which is, you know, politics and stuff like that. So he asked me what I thought of this. I don't even need to get into the dirty details, but he asked me about some political thing about somebody who was, this guy was running as a Democrat in this primary in Michigan. Maybe some people know about it. And I do follow, because I don't want to be completely, I don't know, maybe I'm just bored or interested or whatever it is. So to me, I think that when I look at politics, I look at it as a reflection of the collective unconscious, not as a driver of it. But anyway, so I was on the phone with him, and he was just, we were on a drive. He was going up to the cottage with his partner. He's like, "Hey, well, what do you think of this?" And he is very strongly in a certain feeling about things, because he's Jewish and he supports Israel, and not unconditionally, but he's got a lot of that going on. So I just shared a little bit, and it was sort of fine, but we didn't finish the conversation. And I basically told him what kind of what I really thought, but I might as well just be specific because there's only way to tell the story was that he said that this guy who had won this Democratic primary had said that Israel didn't have a right to exist. Do I care about this? Not specifically, but also we were talking about the details. So I just went on Claude and I looked it up and it's not exactly what he said. So I just sent all the Claude information to my brother. And he said, well, what he said was even worse than that. And he said, I find it so offensive and toxic. That's what he wrote to me in a message. So I said in a message, you know, to him, just because you're offended and emotional about it doesn't mean that you're right. That was all I said. But what he heard was, you're blindly emotional. And now I shouldn't have done this by message. And what's interesting about this, before I tell you what the trigger was, is that I was wrong to be in this conversation because I am talking like a muggle and acting like a muggle and participating with somebody who's not necessarily truly interested in how I see the world and why I would be interested in this. So when he heard what he heard, which is always what happens with me, is that I have this unique ability to bring out a deep feeling in somebody that they didn't necessarily know was there until I said something, till I step on the tripwire. So he just wrote back and he completely attacked me and told me I was brainwashed and a victim of propaganda, which partly is hilarious because nobody has ever accused me of being brainwashed or a victim of propaganda. I've been accused and hated for all kinds of things, but not being brainwashed. Anyway, but I was so injured by it, by what he said, because it was so angry. And we worked it out. But what I recognized was that I was really triggered. And like I had a feeling in me that was so familiar to my past, which is it's a no feeling. It's a feeling of being violated in some way. But he just said something. But why did I feel that way? I felt that way because it touched all kinds of other things. When as soon as this happens now, the second I'm like really, really upset, my first thought now, which I feel like I've trained to do, which I think is the most beautiful human thing I could do, is I ask myself, how did I get here? What did I do? What's my part? And I realized that I participated because I have this feeling that I know things and that I could actually educate other people, but I'm not being that direct about it because I am afraid I'm going to trigger people. So I go about it by playing the game that other people are playing, by talking about the subject that they're interested in. But I've learned that that will never work for me because I'm pretending to be a muggle when I'm not. And therefore, I got what I deserved. And I ended up fixing it by doing what I think I do best, which is with humility, apologizing to him for creating this scenario where he felt that he was under attack by me and that I was, you know, like I didn't really care what he did. At the end, like when he did it, I was angry and upset and hurt and violated and fuck this guy, like how dare you, blah, 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 blah. But when I really looked at it and took responsibility for my part, it is my way of creating of doing what you're talking about, which is entraining the energy in a different way by taking responsibility for why I would be in a situation where somebody would treat me less than respectfully. And in taking responsibility, he completely changed. And he said to me, I did mishear you and I am triggered. And it was a sort of a beautiful, you know, my brother's really interested in Israeli-Palestinian relations. He's a very, can be a very tempestuous, conflictual individual by his own admission. And getting along with my brother is almost like him trying to do what Israelis and Arabs are trying to do. And I feel like I can always bring my brother back to his heart by coming back to my own heart. All this is to say, if you are following my story, that when I said there's subtle things that go on for me, like I don't really have any specific problems or even triggers going on hardly, but when they come up, they're more visceral and soul level and really, really, really deep in my bones. They're not just obvious. And my brother, for example, family member, it was really helpful for me to get to it because he can touch that part of me and other people can't. And in some ways, I have this relationship with him. I love him so much. And he's such a sensitive, beautiful guy. But I didn't really realize this till recently, till I started having a deeper relationship with him again, that he brings me, he shows me so much about myself that nobody else could show me, that in secret, in my preferences, in my expectations and complaints and resistance, I don't want to have a relationship with that. But really, he helps me to be clear about myself more than anybody in my life right now.
You can only ever buy these lessons at the family store. It's kind of an amazing store to shop in. My family is on their way here in a week.
Oh, wow. Well, we've got a great podcast coming, I'm sure.
And my working theory is actually...
Your family or Marin's family?
Mine. Hers is closing. This is the last day of a month of them visiting. So we have 2 months in a row. But my working theory is that there is a version of us, energetically speaking, probably a lot of trauma, but there is an imprint that I believe we never change, which is why when they show up again, it's so easy to revert to that old version of ourselves or have these weird things come out. Like, I don't know if it's possible to impact that. Like, I know certainly all the work we do means that this version that exists currently of me is way different. But these two things, like, now have to coexist because I don't think you ever get rid of that first one. And you only have to prove it by inviting your family over and you'll see it's still there.
Well, that's why I was asking you those questions earlier, because I don't want to make a religion out of what we're talking about, but I do think the principles are important, but asking about your experience of it. And so I feel in some way you are saying, yes, of course, there's just constant opportunity to see your own complaining nature at work. Preferential, egotistically preferential nature at work. Is that kind of what you're saying? Down at the family store?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I just made up a different story about what all that is, right? My old self might have inserted a complaint where my new self realizes that I'm ever creating what is coming for me, and why would I send that flavor of energy out? And so I need to transform it somehow.
Yeah.
Before it goes out to the world, because it's going to come back.
Yes. Well, two things. I think this is the most important things I want to say today. One is that what you're saying, which is so important, is that don't ripple the pond. Yes, whatever happens, but if you can stop yourself before you take action or do something with it, taking responsibility. So I think that that's really important.
Yeah, we can transform things. We just have to suck it all in first and have the capacity to hold it even for a split second. And then the magic can happen.
Well, the bigger thing, and I don't know if you have a version of this for yourself, but what I want to say, what I think is my bullshit, if I could pick one thing that's like the bullshit that I still deal with, is that I have this way of treating people in the way I want to be treated and being respectful. And I live in that. And it by and large works. And if I go out into the matrix and I feel like there's not going to be that kind of clarity or reciprocity, I have a certain way of putting out a version of myself that is not making myself available for any potential problems. The thing about what happened with my brother is that feeling of being violated is a part of me that believes still that it's somebody else's fault. So when I feel the intensity of the temper of my brother at that moment, I want to blame him, which is what he's doing, by the way, because he thinks I told him he was blindly emotional, so he was just attacking me back. But whatever, like in that moment, my point is, what's hard for me to accept still is that I created it, that maybe I actually need that kind of behavior in my life, even though I'm saying it's so important to care for your own boundary and your way in relationship. But when people act that way towards me, my first response is, fuck you, and it's your fault. And it is hard for me to accept in those moments that I created it. That's my complaint, is that I want to be the victim. I want to be able to say, look what he did to me. And I feel like chasing that out of my system is allowing people who I'm close with to do things that are less than holy around me and not assume that I didn't have something to do with it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I chased that more out of my being because like in the human design world, I'm an investigative martyr at the general profile level, which means I get a lot of satisfaction out of becoming a martyr. And I saw that in family members my whole life, and it made me so disgusted that I artificially, you know, I'm very vigilant about staying out of there. And I also, 1 year, I don't even remember how this idea came into my brain. I'm sure it wasn't mine. Maybe it was gifted from above. But it just occurred to me that, like, you can't be offended without giving your permission to someone else to be offended. And the minute that you actually believe that, if you choose to, it takes this enormous amount of potential disaster out of your life as a possibility. It simply can't exist unless you choose to allow it.
As two people with open centers in human design, if something comes in, it's easy to feel someone else. So at the moment my brother had sent me this message, I felt his feelings and they went into my body, and it was hard for me to because you're talking about giving a permission to me.
But that's the joy of being human, is what you're saying there. It went into your body. Like, that's the human experience, right?
Right. Well, but I guess what I'm asking is, you know, I don't know how not the way I organized it, which is with part of my learning this year with lots of people, is that I gave permission by setting up the context for that to happen. But at the moment it happens, I don't think I have any mechanism in place that will allow me to see myself giving permission. Like, 'cause you're saying, you know, you don't get offended if you don't give permission.
Yeah, but I think family is also so different. Like, there is a path from those vibrations that is allowed to them.
Yeah.
That goes right to places that you haven't looked at in like decades.
That's what I'm talking about. That's where I'm saying, when I think about my complaints, I feel like, and I'm glad I use that example, is that family is it's, I don't have the mastery or control over it that I seem to have in so many other situations.
Yeah. It seems like the only mastery you can develop there is the response, because there is something so weird going on that I would love to understand. Maybe I will. It's some year. What is actually happening there? because it is at a level where you feel completely defenseless.
Yeah.
It's like there's no, it's like the current you leaves the building for a second.
Yeah. Or maybe it is marginalized by the size of this other energy, which you might call karma. Because you say, what is it? I think that family lines, particularly through your particular gender, like say for me, my brother, my father, my grandfather, like I feel like there is lineage karma, in that there's a power and a weight, a velocity, a momentum of it that is beyond even where you are with it, but you're there sometimes to experience it, to transmute it. That part of your path may very well be to have the pattern occur and feel this huge amount of energy taking, almost feeling like it's taking over your authentic self, so that you can practice the mastery of your authentic self, even in that situation.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, yeah. Like, I try to keep it very simple. My principle that I keep in my brain is that I'm always creating, and that creation has some relationship with the quality of the vibration that exists in my form most of the time. So if I can just learn to keep that, I mean, that has no commentary on what's happening. It's what I'm doing to most of the time. What is the vibration that I'm harboring in my form? Because I want a reality that resonates in some way. I'm going to see a reality that resonates in some way, even if I don't understand it, with what's going on inside. And so that is my point of power.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because your family's coming next week, so it'll be fun to talk about this some more. I feel like we should pick it up.
I can't wait because I'm curious what Jason is going to show up.
Yeah. And you know, we were talking about martial arts and, like, you know, and the punch comes, and the difference between, say, your family and other situations is that if most of life is the dojo practicing with the teacher, then family is like street fighting. It's like, because it's so quick to happen, both the punch and also the path into your secret unmined channels inside yourself. And it really tests. Well, it's Ram Dass said, if you think you're enlightened, spend a month with your family. So,
I can feel it already. Even the difference between when I entertain an image of that, like, you can feel the constriction start, you know? So at the very least, I know that is the wrong way to go.
Yeah.
You know, and the right way to go is just to have the capacity to see just what is, and why would I argue with that?
When do they come?
In about a week. So we'll see how well I do.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm just wondering if next Wednesday, I mean, I feel like this is a rich topic and both of our fans are probably looking forward to installment two. So
it has to be addressed if you really do want to be that authority, because this is a lot of power that you very easily give away for bizarre reasons that you can't understand with your conscious mind.
Right. Okay.
All right.
I think this we'll end there, and we'll check in with you next week and see which Jason.
I'm going to be early again. The early Jason showed up today. You're welcome. Bye.
You're so humble. Got me working, boss man. Working round the clock. I want me a drink of water, but you won't let Elijah stop. Big boss man, can you hear me when I call? Well, you ain't so big, you're just tall, that's all. Thank you.
gonna get me